Blog Talk Radio.
Round one. Welcome to The Balance. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. Welcome, Earthlings. You have stumbled across the number one internet sports talk station in the world, all across this great land that we call the United States of America. Excuse me, and I do have a frog actually residing in my throat today. Thank God I have Rick Riggin of the American Airman podcast joining me today as well. Well, we've got a great show on tap, as if, because if you're a fan of the game, you're definitely a fan of The Balance. Because it's Saturday morning, this is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams, bring you an analytical breakdown of a sports from a fan's point of view. That would be you. We bring you breaking news, commentary, scores, stats, and quite frankly, the only opinions that matter, which is mine, and today we'll even let Rick's matter. So stick with us today. I promise you this is going to be a good one. And, you know, speaking of this great land of the United States of America, one of the greatest football games as an American, I don't care if you like college football or don't like college football, the one game that you have to absolutely watch today as an American is the Army-Navy game. It is the biggest patriotic game, if you will, and there's on so many levels, and we'll certainly get into this discussion, and that's why it's perfect for Rick from the American Airman podcast to talk with us about the importance of the Army-Navy game, and we'll have a little fun with it as well, and so we'll get into that, and we're going to talk about college football championship playoffs, and yeah, we're going to talk about Alabama, and we're going to talk about how Penn State just did not make it into the chaos, which is what Rick likes to talk about the most. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. Myself and Rick Riggin of the American Airman podcast will be right back right after this on the Balance Radio Network.
Told me to reduce stress at work, so I come to Buffalo Wild Wings to eat lunch and watch sports. I get to pick one of seven entrees, like sandwiches and salads, plus one of seven sides.
Well, I like sides.
It's so affordable, I can finally take a vacation.
Where are you going to go?
Here, Tim, here.
Introducing the new B-Dubs Fast Break Lunch Menu, starting at a new low price. Dine in or order takeout weekdays between 11 and 2. Participation and availability may vary. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.
Fantasy football fans, who doesn't love the excitement of picking your team? Well, you can do that any week when you play in one-week fantasy football leagues at FanDuel.com. You play for real money with immediate cash payouts, and there's no season-long commitment. Right now, FanDuel is giving you a bonus of up to $200 that gets earned as you play. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it up to $200. Click on the banner or go to FanDuel.com. That's FanDuel.com.
It's Peyton. It's Peyton on Sunday morning.
Hey, man.
What up, Peyton?
You know I have DirecTV NFL Sunday Ticket. I get every game, every Sunday, all in HD.
Yeah, I know that.
So you want to come over? I'll make nachos.
I can't right now, man. I'm playing.
Well, well, right, pencil you in for Tuesday.
Get NFL Sunday Ticket included at no extra charge, only on DirecTV.
It's Peyton. It's Peyton on Sunday morning.
You know, with DirecTV NFL Sunday Ticket, you can watch your favorite team no matter where you live, like Broncos or Colts.
Cool.
18, the old number. Ooh, I have got a coupon for that one.
It's Peyton on Sunday morning. Nope.
Get NFL Sunday Ticket only on DirecTV and watch live games anywhere.
It's Peyton. It's Peyton on Sunday morning.
You like football?
Yeah.
It's DirecTV NFL Sunday Ticket. I can watch every Sunday Ticket game live on any device.
I'm retired. I just sit here watching nothing.
Huh.
If I were you, I'd work as long as you can, son. Work as long as you can.
Thanks.
Get NFL Sunday Ticket only on DirecTV and watch live games anywhere.
By posting your videos and pictures via social media using the hashtag ArmyNavyAFN. Post your videos and pics now. Then, join us for a live chat during the big game on Saturday, December 10th on AFN Sports. Army versus Navy. This one's going to be big.
Look good up in here. I look like freedom.
Last year, the Navy told you the Army don't give a ship.
What kind of ships does Army give? None.
And they're right. We don't give a ship. We give a truck, though. We give a truck about winning wars and looking good while we save babies.
My baby!
Gotcha, baby. The Navy don't give a truck, though. If they did, they wouldn't allow this hideous creature to escort them on the field. I mean, I could sit here all day and tell you all about how the Army go beat the Navy. But why do that when I can show you more of this disgusting beast? If you're not rooting for the Army, you're rooting for this thing.
Yeah.
Go Army. Beat Navy.
No ghost babies or sailors were injured in the making of this video.
Army!
I love it! Yes, had to get that little jab in there. Go Army, beat Navy, absolutely. You know, this is one of the greatest times of the year, I think. One, to be an American, and two, just to be a sports fan. It is great. You know, we know that Army and Navy aren't playing for a bowl game. I mean, not that that could never happen, but we just know that it's not happening this year. That's not what makes this game special. What makes this game special is you have two of the greatest service academies doing battle, really for nothing more than bragging rights. You could maybe equate it to the old Oak and Barrel or some other type trophy games, but there's nothing, I don't think, any bigger or any special than the Army-Navy game. No matter who wins, and you know, I'm a big Army fan. My son's in the Marine. He is a big Navy guy, and for those of you that don't know, fun fact, the Marines are actually part of the Navy. But joining us now to help us talk about this game and college football and, you know, just all around sports is our partner in crime, Mr. Rick Riggin of the American Airman Podcast. How are you, sir?
Hey, good morning, Tom. Good morning, Balance listeners. And you mentioned, you know, your son being a Marine and you being in the Army, and you're bringing in an Air Force guy to talk about the Army-Navy game.
I know. What's wrong with this picture, right? So, you know, let's talk a little bit about we'll break down the game itself here in just a few minutes and actually talk the X's and O's of the actual game. But, you know, how important of a game is this? And I know you're a veteran. I'm a veteran. And there's a lot of veterans out there. You do a lot with the veterans on the American Airman podcast. Talk with us a little bit about how important this game is, especially to veterans, but more importantly, just to the country as a whole.
Well, if you – everybody has heard of the term give 110%, but if you actually want to see what that looks like, watch this game today. There's no quit. It's land versus sea. It's Army versus Navy. It's total bragging rights other than comparing ASVAB scores. And this is a battle basically between our future service leaders, our military leaders, because these teams are composed of. These are our future leaders of our services. So, there's really a lot at stake. For bragging rights, I just wish my Air Force was a part of a game like this. It'd be awesome. But, man, I love watching Army Navy every year.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's a fantastic game. And you know, I'll try to get some other videos up. I mean, not videos, but the sound bites of the videos. But go to YouTube, search Army Navy Spirit video. You'll see they'll have all kinds of them. And, of course, that one that we played coming out of the break was, you know, about the Army beating Navy. But you can find there's one that's about six – and you might like this, Rick. This is about 6 minutes long, and it's Army Navy Spirit Video Star Wars. Google that one. You'll like that one.
Sweet.
I'll send you the link to it, but it's on YouTube, and check it. But the point being is, you know – and we could talk about the fundamentals of the game and discipline. Another fun fact here, in all of college football, Navy, Air Force, and Army have the fewest offside penalties called against them. Now, how does one get an offside penalty? By being disciplined at the line. They are a machine. Now, not to say that it doesn't happen. Yes, they get offside calls from time to time. But the point being is that these service academies are the most disciplined players on the field.
Well, yeah, Tom, you're exactly right. And no disrespect to Army here. You know, I'm not picking my winner here for this comment just yet. But if you want to see a disciplined, well-oiled machine, take a look at that triple offense, triple option offense the Navy runs. Talk about some discipline. Watch that thing go today.
Yeah. You're very familiar with the Navy.
I am way too familiar with Navy these past 5 or 6 years. More familiar than I want to be familiar with them.
I figured that was the case. You know, and we'll be playing some other sound bites. Hopefully, if we've got time through the show about the Army Navy game, and it's on today. And I tell you what, just as an American, I'm going to go ahead. No, people might disagree with me on this, but I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, if you don't watch this game today, you're not American. You anti-American. That might be a little extreme,
yeah.
But the point.
You can get out.
You can pack your bags and take your whatever with you. You know, but certainly it's a big big game, and you want to watch it. You make a very valid point that with the Army Navy game, to see the thousands of servicemen and midshipmen, I should say, servicemen and midshipmen in the stands, all in uniform. And to watch the pregame ceremonies of them marching out onto the field, and it is just an incredible, incredible sight. Let me ask you this, Rick, and then we'll get into the X's and O's here. What are some of the things that you like most about the lead up to and the pre-ceremonies, the halftime, everything surrounding the actual game itself, but without the game? if that makes sense.
Well, yeah, you were just touching on it right there. It's the Academy students, you know, dressed out in full uniform. You know, that makes up like half the crowd, basically. You know, it makes me want to don my uniform again. It gets me jazzed up. It's one of the coolest scenes in all of sports. Whenever you can see, you know, the Academy students, you know, dressed to the nines, you know, and they're dressed blues, you know, that's what we call it in the Air Force anyway. And, you know, cheering on a football game, it's one of the coolest scenes ever. I love the Blue Angel flyover. I believe they do that every year. I'm not sure if it's going to happen this year, but all the pageantry that goes with it, man, it's just one of the greatest scenes in all sports.
Oh, it is. And you know, to be honest with you, it gives me goosebumps. And in a lot of ways, it's a very emotional thing to watch. But it's just something special. So the Army and Navy will meet for the 119th time this afternoon in Baltimore, and the two service academy rivals will once again have the college football stage to themselves for the nation to watch. Navy will attempt a 15th consecutive victory.
So, yeah, that's the thing. Navy's won 14 straight, so I was going to bring that up too.
yeah. So again, you know, when we get down to the reality of nuts and bolts of it, I think everybody knows how tough of a team Navy is. We'll talk about them, and as you mentioned too and alluded to a while ago, you're very familiar with Navy and how they play Notre Dame. But in a lot of ways, and I'm not just saying this because I'm an Army guy. I'm just saying this just because it is the facts, and we're talking about the X and O's of the game. But this game really could be one of their toughest matchups in years. Army has really improved immensely. The midship are suddenly without their record-setting quarterback, Will Worth. Worth hurt his foot in the AAC title game against Temple, and sophomore Zach Avery will have to do the heavy lifting this week. And to compound that, Worth lost a 34-10 loss to Temple, I think it was. Not to mention the potential of a New Year's Six bowl berth. This is hardly the perfect time for Navy to play this game, I guess is what my point is. Army, meanwhile, has improved from 123rd in Football Outsiders S&P Plus rankings last year to 82nd this year, and improved their record from 2-10 to 6-5. And have a bowl berth this year. So let's not totally rule out Army this year.
Oh, not at all. And when teams like Army are turning their seasons around, having these winning records, it makes college football just 100% better. You know, as you can remember, Tom, way back in the 20s and 30s, and maybe in the 40s up until World War II, Army was a football superpower. So, that's
yeah,
a joke,
absolutely.
Because you're old.
So, you know, here are some things to talk about. You know, can Army break the streak? I think they can. And I'm not just saying that because I'm go Army. That'd be fantastic. You'll hear me root all the way down to Evansville there. But the only. That's the only question on people's mind when it comes to this game. Army hasn't beaten Navy since 2001. 14 straight losses to their rivals. It's already the longest streak in history of the rivalry, and it's given Navy a 60-49-7 lead in the all-time series. So let's talk about that rivalry, Rick. Let's talk about that history. Let's talk about how important of a win it is for Army to finally beat Navy and have an opportunity to do it this year.
Yeah, I think they got a great opportunity. The last two have ended, been won by Navy 7 points or less. So it goes back to that given 110% thing where both teams are just going to leave it all out there on the field. And when you have two teams that are just going to do that, you're going to get close games like this. And I mean, you're right that, you know, with Navy losing the way they did to Temple, maybe Temple exposed a chink in the armor in that triple option offense that Army can't expose to make this game close and possibly pull out a win. But I think it's Very important in the series. Very important for the rivalry that Army gets this win today. I think they can do it. It's going to be close. I think it's going to be another 3-point, 7-point game again.
Now, I don't speak hillbilly. But no, I'm lying. Actually, I speak hillbilly very thoroughly. What is a chink in the armor?
Chink in the armor, kink in the armor. What did I say? Chink in the armor. Kink in the armor. You know what? Honestly, I've heard it both ways. I've heard it both ways. So.
Well, you know, here's the thing. Even if they do fall short against Navy, it's been a great season for the Army. They're bowl eligible, and for the first time since 2010, they'll play North Texas in the Heart of Dallas Bowl on December 27th, and it will only be the second bowl game for the program since 1996. They have a chance to finish with a winning record as well, was something that also is accomplished. And let's face it, going to a bowl game is great to Army, but beating Navy, if they had a choice between beating Navy and going to a bowl game, I think they'd choose beating Navy every single time.
Yeah, I think, you know, Army's kind of treated this game, you know, since they've lost 14 straight. It's kind of their New Year's Six Bowl, maybe not their Super Bowl, you know, because definitely going to a bowl game for the first time and however long is a really big deal to them. But they treat this like this is their biggest game of the year. So for them to get the win today is just huge for the program, huge for for West Point, and I'm just looking forward to it today.
Yeah, and as we mentioned, I think some of the things that Navy's the midshipmen are facing, and they are actually plagued with some injuries. And, you know, they're coming with, again, we mentioned the injury with quarterback Will Worth and running back Tiano Gawley. Both went down for the remainder of the year with foot injuries in that Temple game. And it'll be on Zach Avery to be the general, if you will, no pun intended, or admiral, if you will, in their lingo, against the Army. But there again, Army hasn't played a game since November 19th. Russ could be a factor, at least at the beginning of this game, for Army.
I'm sorry, Tom. I was actually on the computer here. We was talking about Navy with a potential New Year's Six Bowl. Actually, they've already accepted an invite to the Armed Forces Bowl against Louisiana Tech on December 23rd.
Oh, okay. See? There you go. Rick Riggin, ladies and gentlemen.
So even though I didn't answer your question you just asked me, I did just contribute to the show in a positive way.
you're moving the show forward. You're moving the business forward. That's a good and positive thing. And certainly we want to talk about these other bowl games. We want to talk Alabama as well. We want to talk about the college football playoffs, the committee, and what were they thinking. And, you know, really, we do have some chaos, and I know you like that in college football. So we'll get into that here in just a minute. But let's get into some more of the X's and O's of the game. What are some of the key factors that need to happen on both sides of the game? Obviously, Army needs to come into Baltimore today and really just dominate and hit the Achilles heel of Navy, and that's to hit them in their injury spots, and that's to get after the quarterback. It's to stop the run. It's to really do everything they can possibly do to cause chaos in the game for Navy. But what are some of the thoughts that you have that Navy Army has to happen? And kind of break it. Let's break this down. Game down the X's and the O's of the Army Navy game today.
Well, obviously for Army is they're going to have to figure out a way, because you're not going to stop the Navy triple option. I mean, it's so well oiled, it's impossible to stop. But it can be slowed down to a point to where if your offense is scoring points, you can slow their offense down enough to get the lead on them, maintain a lead, because this is going to be actually a quick game, Tom, because both teams run the triple option, so the clock is going to be constantly moving. But you can't let Navy get ahead, because that is what Navy's offense thrives on, is getting an early lead and maintaining it. So Army is just going to have to match them score for score, basically, or take the lead on them. They're going to have to slow down that triple option offense. And the only other thing with Navy is this year they've actually developed a passing game to go along with that triple option run. So Army has their hands full today, and for Navy is to not let Army get rolling with their triple option offense. I think both teams play a great defense. It's going to be a similar game plan for both teams. But that Navy offense, Tom, as you know, is just, man, it's a beautiful thing to watch the way they run that triple option.
Absolutely. And, you know, we talk about the triple option because we know what it is. And why don't you – maybe we have some novice listeners who are just, you know, happen to be listening or just stumbled across the podcast, and welcome, by the way. But maybe don't know what we mean by the triple option and how that really affects the clock. What would be your best explanation? Because as you very well mentioned, and very well correctly, both run the triple option. That's very, very popular with the service academies particularly, but it's becoming more and more popular of a scheme to run. When you say triple option, what are some of the things that viewers should be looking at? Say, oh, hey, I know that's a triple option because Rick Riggin on The Balance told me that.
All right, yeah, sure. it is what it says it is. You have three options as a quarterback, and you know the whole offense is based off deception. Your first option is actually to the fullback and not the running back. You know, a handoff up the middle or a fullback sweep, but that's your first option is the fullback. The second option is the running back. And so, but this is where the deception comes into play, because if they pound the ball with the fullback a couple times in a row, then they start faking handoffs to the fullback. Now the running back's got the ball. That's where all that deception comes in. And then the third option is obviously the quarterback can keep it himself with the run. And we've seen Navy this past season actually develop a passing game out of that option offense. So it's all based off deception. You're going to see a lot of movement, a lot of fake handoffs. Blocking schemes are shifted one way or the other, whichever way the quarterback is going to run this triple option offense and whatever he's going to call out and how he's going to execute the deception. But all the blocking is schemed for whoever they're going to give the ball to. You're going to see linemen up the field blocking linebackers, you know. And another thing to watch out for is the chop block. You're going to see a lot of Army players, and both teams really, because both teams run this triple option. You're going to see a lot of players getting blocked at the legs and getting flipped, flipped over. And that's something I'm not sure if that should be an outlawed block, but the chop block is very important to the triple option offense. So you're going to see a lot of chop blocks. You're going to see a lot of deception. It's just a really cool, it's an old school style of football, but it's really beautiful when it's executed, you know, the way Navy does it.
Very thorough answer there, Siri. I mean, Rick. well, you know, as we mentioned, this is the 117th meeting between Army and Navy. I tell you what, I get goosebumps every time I watch this game. I'm really excited about it. They're meeting in Baltimore just for the seventh time in the rivalries, 6-5. At 6-5, the Army enters with, as we mentioned, the winning record. So here's some players to watch. Army running back Andy Davidson leads the team with 818 yards rushing and 9 touchdowns in 150 attempts. Navy wide receiver Jamar Tillman has caught 35 of the team's 80 completions and has 582 receiving yards and 2 touchdowns on the year. And you, as a Notre Dame fan, are very familiar with wide receiver Jamar Tillman. So key stats, Army ranks second in the FBS at 328.5 rushing yards, while Navy ranks third at 327.5. The midshipmen lead the series 60-49-7, as we mentioned a while ago. Not including quarterback Will Worth, Navy has 4 rushers with at least 400 yards this season. And Amy, who's Amy? Amy, what? Army is allowing an average of 289 yards per game, ranking fifth in the FBS. So in the last two meetings, it has really have been decided by a touchdown or less. And, of course, we talked about the injuries with Will Worth being one of the biggest impacts to Navy, and who has 25 rushing touchdowns, and in all 8 of the team's touchdown passes is out for the rest. Passers All right, we'll start it over for the rest of the season because of an ankle injury. And, again, Navy cornerback Elijah Merchant is questionable with a concussion. We hear those stats. It looks good for Army, not so good for Navy. Let's wrap it up. Let's put a bow on it here. Let's make our official picks. Are you ready for that? You got something else to add there, Ed? Rick? I'm just pulling people out of the air. Amy, Rick, whoever, Ed. Go ahead, buddy. Rick? Are you still with me? Rick. Are you there?
Yep.
I must have had your mic.
So I was talking that whole time. You just didn't hear me at all.
that's probably why I had your mic muted, because I didn't want to hear you talk. No, go right ahead.
Okay,
I apologize.
Cool. you're not going to hear this either, because I think Navy's going to get the win today. I think it's going to be another close day, but I'm going to give the edge to Navy.
Just because of why?
Because you muted me.
All right, we'll go with that answer. You know, here's the thing. I would typically probably agree with you on this. I like the fact that Army has a very improved season. I like the fact that it's Army. Duh. I like the fact that Army's going to a bowl game. I like the fact that Army has momentum. No matter what you say about momentum, it's not just a cliche word. What worries me is that they haven't played since November 19th. What also worries me is that Navy always does find a way to win. But what I like about it is, as I mentioned in the key stats there, it's always been by a touchdown or less, so it's always been a close game. I think with the injuries coming into play with Navy, Army has a very good opportunity to capitalize on that game. So I'm going to go, wait for it, epic win. Well, not, we won't say epic win, but we'll say win by the Army. And, you know, honestly, I think it'll come down to a field goal. But I think Army will pull it off. Let's go, Army.
Yeah, it's big win. You can say epic win. I don't think it's not a program-changing win, you know, like it. But it's a nice signature win, definitely. So, real quick, a final note that I think is noteworthy. If Navy would have beat Temple, you know, they would all get in two losses, and then we will be talking about that New Year's Six Bowl. And I don't know if it's the playoff committee that also selects these bowl games, but whatever committee that selects these teams for bowl games, they did not want that to happen because it pushes back like half of the bowl games that would have to wait on this game today, you know, like an extra week to figure out who their opponent is going to be, depending on if a two-loss Navy team, what bowl game they would have went into. So isn't that crazy? Like, this would have been chaos today. This game could have been chaos if the Navy wouldn't have lost to Temple.
Total freaking chaos.
It would have clogged half of the bowl selections if Navy was to finish out with two losses.
Well, we're going to get into the College Football Committee and the College Football Playoff selections coming up right after this. Myself and Rick Riggin of the American Airman Podcast will be back, and we're going to be breaking down. So we're going to be talking some Alabama, and we're going to be talking about the College Football Playoffs, and we'll kind of touch on some bowl games. IU, we know, is going to a bowl game, and we'll talk about some of the bowl game actions as well. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. We'll be right back right after this on the Balance Radio Network.
Hi, Tom Bodette spreading the word about Motel 6's cool new hashtag. It's all about the thrilling stuff you can do with the money you save at Motel 6 instead of some expensive hotel with a lot of fancy stuff you don't need. Thrills, not frills. Just post all those thrill pics you take on your summer travels with the hashtag thrills, not frills. Boom. I mean, hashtag boom. Hashtag this is awesome. I'm Tom Bodette for hashtag Motel 6 and hashtag we'll leave the light on for you.
Bobby, you here again?
Yeah, my doctor told me to reduce stress at work, so I come to Buffalo Wild Wings to eat lunch and watch sports. I get to pick one of seven entrees, like sandwiches and salads, plus one of seven sides.
Well, I like sides.
It's so affordable, I can finally take a vacation.
Where are you going to go?
Here, Tim, here.
Introducing the new B-Dub Fast Break Lunch Menu, starting at a new low price. Dine in or order takeout weekdays between 11 and 2. Participation and availability may vary. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.
Fantasy football fans, who doesn't love the excitement of picking your team? Well, you can do that any week when you play in one-week fantasy football leagues at FanDuel.com. You play for real money with immediate cash payouts, and there's no season-long commitment. Right now, FanDuel is giving you a bonus of up to $200 that gets earned as you play. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it up to $200. Click on the banner or go to FanDuel.com. That's FanDuel.com.
Hey, it's Flo, and this is my impression of a beat poet. Name your price. A tool, an idea, an inspiration. To do more than just say what you want to pay. Oh, no, but to see the options that could fit your budget. Steve, enough bongos.
Find car insurance that fits your budget at Progressive.com.
Makes me want to dance. Steve!
Progressive Casualty Insurance.
With a Sam's Club membership, you get incredible savings every time you shop. Now's your chance to see what it means to save like a member. Hurry into Sam's Club and get a free 60-day trial membership pass. Shop and save on great brands for your home, fresh produce, and USDA Grade A meat. You'll even get a savings book with over $5,000 in additional savings. Don't miss out on a free Sam's Club 60-day trial membership pass. Join and save. Sam's Club. Life is better when you're in the club. See club for details.
Is here, the game you've been waiting for, Army versus Navy. 125 years of honor, tradition, and bragging rights. This year, show AFN your team spirit by posting your videos and pictures via social media using the hashtag ArmyNavyAFN. Post your videos and pics now. Then, join us for a live chat during the big game on Saturday, December 10th on AFN Sports, Army versus Navy. This one's gonna be big.
And welcome back to The Balance. My name is Tom Mark Wassell, Presidente. Right along my side here is Mr. Rick Riggin of the American Airman Podcast. Well, I'll say virtually along my side. He is actually located in Evansville, Indiana, down in God's country. But you know, whenever I hear that bumper coming out, we have a few of them that we run in the ever-running cycle of bumpers on the Balance Radio Network. It reminds me of Austin Powers. Do you remember Austin Powers? Yeah, baby, yeah.
That's where I actually thought you might have got that from, because it reminds me of Austin Powers also.
It does. Not where I got that
where
from.
Where did that come from? Where'd you get that?
Well, I'll tell you off mic, but it's
okay.
There's all kinds of sources out there. It's not from Austin Powers, because then I'd have to pay for it. And
right.
You know, I'm a cheap ass, so we're just poor folks. It's a squirrel trying to get a nut. What's he gonna do with his nuts? What's he gonna do with these nuts?
Right.
We digress. Well, you know, speaking of digress, I mean, we know that the college football championship committee is developed and formed and put together by Nick Saban and the University of Alabama. So, of course, I'm not being literal when I say that, but it certainly does seem like everything does go into the favor. We talked about it last week, and you know, it's really the teams are put together for the assumption that Alabama's going to the championship game, and who's going to play the best championship game against Alabama on national television. Let's call it what it is. Let's call a spade a spade, if you will. That's really what what we feels like I feel like is going on, and that's where we've talked about the 8-team playoffs. Now, don't get me wrong, Alabama's a great team. They are a little NFL team. They probably could actually beat the Cleveland Browns or the LA Rams. So they're that good of a team. Don't get me wrong. I'm not taking anything away from them or minimizing victories. But I think there comes a point when we've got to talk about Alabama being just a school and being just a team with a winning record.
Yeah, you know, and my thing with Alabama is I think the committee – I think Bama needs to lose 4 games before the committee actually takes them out of the playoff picture. Because I think a 3-loss Alabama, but somehow still gets an SEC championship game but wins the SEC title, still gets considered, even with 3 losses, for the Final Four. I think it would take 4 losses for the committee to actually put them out. But, yeah, you're right. The road to the national title seems to go through Alabama every single year. And I think the committee matches up the best 3 teams they feel like can play with Alabama, regardless of what that team has done during the season. They just look at the best 3 other teams that match up with Alabama, and that's what they base it off of.
Well, and I agree with you completely. I guess, you know, you ask yourself which comes first, the chicken or the egg. I mean, obviously they do a fantastic job recruiting. Now, do they do a fantastic job recruiting because it's Nick Saban, or do they do a fantastic job because they're winning, or both? But they certainly get the best recruits in the nation, and they certainly develop those recruits to play college football at an extremely high level. And it makes you wonder why it is that other college football teams cannot, drink from the mojo of Alabama, because, you know, we'll talk about the Heisman Trophy finalists here in just a moment. But you don't always see Alabama players as Heisman finalists. So you don't always see them going to the NFL. Of course you see them in the NFL. Of course they have NFL players. But at the end of the day, if you were to take statistically, Alabama producing Heisman Trophy winners, Super Bowl champions, high-caliber NFL teams, players, there might be that ish argument to say that doesn't happen. So they play at a very high level. So if we're talking about Alabama football, well, you got to give them credit where credit's due. But what do you think is in the mojo or in the water down there in Alabama?
Well, it is what Nick Saban has built based on off recruiting. He gets into Florida for those high-caliber high school football players and into Texas. You know, it's probably the top 2 states with California and Ohio. Nick Saban's got 2 of the top 4 states for recruiting locked up. So, I think the number one thing for recruiting anymore is geography. Where's the school located? It stays pretty well warm in Tuscaloosa year-round, you know, down in Alabama. So if it's going between that, and I know what Jim Harbaugh's building in Michigan, but, you know, Michigan's probably, 15 degrees right now up there? What's Tuscaloosa's temperature? 50, maybe? So that plays, you know, a lot to in a kid's high school kid's decision, too. It wouldn't mind. I want to play in a warm climate because this weather sucks right now.
but you know, we can take that argument the other way. You know, one of the things that we talk about when it gets to be football season, hey, this is football weather. We love football weather. I mean, you look at how popular is football up in Green Bay, and everybody knows it's not warm climate there. So I mean, my guess, I get you like the warm weather, but I mean. I don't know. I just don't think that the warm weather is the reason why Alabama gets the great recruits. I guess that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think so. I think geography plays. I think geography might be the number one thing in recruiting. I mean, look it up. I think I'm right on that. I think it's geography.
You probably are right. You're always right because you're Rick Riggin of the American Airman podcast. You know, obviously, in all seriousness, obviously, it is. A factor My only thing being is that Alabama is doing something right. And my only point being in all of this is whatever they're doing, it looks to me like other teams could do or could somewhat mimic, if you will. Let's get into the college football playoffs, shall we? Shall we? Chaos. And then when I do, we you know, before we wrap things up, I certainly want to make sure that we talk about the Heisman Trophy winners. I've got my pick already. I think it's a very clear choice on that. But we'll certainly break down how we came up with that decision. So let's talk a little bit. Let's go back a little bit to last week before we knew who was actually going to be in that 3 and 4 slot. I think we both agreed last week that Alabama would definitely be there. Clemson would definitely be there. But we weren't quite so sure about Ohio State, Michigan, Washington, Penn State if they won. We even talked about – here's the thing. Let's say that Michigan had found a way to get in there, I still think that they would have decided to put Michigan in the college football playoffs with Ohio State above Penn State. And to me, in what other universe does winning your conference championship not come into play when deciding who are the best teams in the nation? If you're going to pick somebody from the Big Ten, i.e. Ohio State, which they did, you should pick the team that was the best in that division. I mean, that won the division championship, especially when you have and correct me if I'm wrong on this, Rick, but did Penn State not beat Ohio State?
You're right. You know, Penn State did beat Ohio State. They won the conference championship, and they also beat Ohio State. And their second loss was to Pitt, an in-state rival who beat Clemson. So I that's where I am confused with the committee. I think Penn State should have jumped a one-loss Washington for that number 4 spot. But here's what I'm thinking, what it goes back to, what we talked about like 5 minutes ago. I think the committee – thinks that high-powered offense from Washington is going to stack up well against Alabama. So that's why I think the decision went to. I think who stacks up.
Ding, ding.
Ding.
That's exactly what I'm saying. That the playoffs should not be built around Alabama. You want to put Alabama in the playoffs? Great, put them in the playoffs. They deserve to be there. They certainly are the best team in the nation. But you don't form the rest of the playoffs based on who's going to play them better or worse, for that matter. In a lot of ways, they're controlling the outcome, Rick. In a lot of ways, what they're saying is, well, we think that Alabama can beat Ohio State, so we're gonna put them together. Why don't they put Alabama and Ohio State? I mean, my point being is, they're trying to control the outcome. Basically, what they say, well, who's going to play now when we get to the national championship game? Who can Alabama beat best? That's ridiculous. That's fixing the championship. That's not that college football is going to have to expand at some point. And I think people are starting to realize that and starting to talk about that publicly. I'm talking about people within the NCAA organization. And no one in sports has ever demonstrated a tendency against adding lucrative stuff. If you had 6 bowl games, championship type bowl games on New Year's Day, or you had let's say 8, whatever the number is, it's going to have to expand. I mean, we talked about it last week. It doesn't really matter if they have 8. The 9th team's always going to be that team that says it should have been me. If you have 12, the 13th team's always going to be that team that say it should have been me. So I'm saying to you that there should be a point where we say, okay, enough's enough. And I think you and I both agree an 18 playoff would be just about right. But at the same time, there's certainly an argument to say we could at least go to 6.
Well, yeah, you know, and the thing with it is, I mean, I don't know who are the 5th team is going to be mad, and the 19th is going to be the 9th team that doesn't get in is going to be mad. But what sense does it make to have 5 Power 5 conferences, meaning you have 5 conference champions, but only 4 spots for that champion, for those champions? Plus, you have five other conferences out there. You know, they're called the Group of Five is what they're called. They're not the Power Five. They're the Group of Five. So with an 18 playoff, you can have your five Power Five champions, one through five. And then your sixth spot could be the Group of Five best team or whatever. And then you have a spot for two at-large bids. Because what's going to happen is Notre Dame is actually going to go undefeated another season here. I know it's going to happen. Not just saying that as a fan, but come on, Tom, it's Notre Dame. They're going to get things turned around at some point. They're going to get in the top four, and now two conference champions won't get in because of that. So that's why, to me, eight teams makes the most sense.
Well, I guess we'll just have to keep – let me ask you this. Why didn't they put Alabama and Ohio State in the Peach Bowl?
Well, here's the thing. It's Alabama and Clemson last year ended up being a pretty damn good game. So they're setting up that potential for a rematch this year. You were touching on it. You know,
I can't predict the
outcome.
Am I the only one that sees what's going on here? They are building and controlling the outcome. Like you just said, you said it yourself. They position this specifically because they think Clemson. Now what happens? You talk about chaos. It's going to be like Trump winning the presidency. Who would have ever thought it, right? Well, I knew it. I thought it. Don't make me digress. I knew it was going to happen. I think anybody with any brains and eyes on the world knew it was going to happen. That's my point. What happens if Washington beats Alabama? What happens if Ohio State beats Clemson? Dun, dun, dun. Now everybody says Ohio State is the absolute best team in college football, which, by the way, Urban Meyer has done a great job, and I would say that's a marketably correct statement to say that in a lot of ways they are the best team in college football. But Washington could beat Ohio State. If you break down the four teams that are there, there is the potential that Washington can beat Alabama. That could never happen. Oh no, that could never happen.
I think Bama is beatable. I really do.
And I think the Huskies are the ones that could absolutely do it. You know, the unfortunate part about living in the part of the country where we live at is we don't get to see a lot of the Big 12 games on a regular basis like we do Big 10, like we do the SEC. So we don't know until we get to this time of year. But if you follow college football at all, you know that Washington is a very, very good team. So it will be interesting to see what happens. So did we cover all the Bama points? I know you said Bama, Bama, Bama yesterday, so I wanted to make sure we covered your Alabama points.
Well, real quick, Tom, you know, I mean, you're all over with the committee. Yeah, touching, you know, making these matchups how they want to make them to predict the outcome they want, you know. I don't know if it's really based off of who's going to win or lose what, but they definitely set this up in a way that's going to get them the most ratings and the most money because it's a business before it's a sport, you know, with the playoff committee. So that's how it's really set up. What's going to drive the most ratings? Because ratings means a lot more money. And what four teams and what matchups are going to give us that best chance? And I think that's how they set this up.
Well, you know what? I agree with that. I mean, obviously, I understand the world of marketing. I have a degree in marketing. I understand that where the money aspect of it is at this. But also, here's the other thing. Their money has already been made prior to the selection. Let's face it. The bowl games are already in place. The TV contracts are already in place. They're already making their money, okay? And let's face it, if your team is University of Evansville against Oakland City University in the national championship, I'm just being facetious here because those are two very small schools that we're both very familiar with, and I'm being stupid when I say this, and I'm being very extreme when I say this, but if they went to the national championship, they would still sell tickets to the national championship. There are people in Los Angeles, for example, that would buy tickets to a national championship game to see the University of Evansville and Oakland City University in a national championship. The money's already been made is my point.
Okay, but how many people will watch that game on TV?
The TV contracts have already been paid. That's my
because
point.
Because I don't.
The advertising.
Yeah, but what we're looking for that rating number, Tom. You know, you can't have that until the game starts.
You know, here's the thing, though. The advertising has, before the World Series ever takes place, before they know who's going to be in the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl right now is 90, I saw this the other day, is about 95% sold out. We don't even know who's going to be in the Super Bowl. Why? Because it's the Super Bowl. The point is, a national, and it would never be as extreme as the example that I gave. I just gave that extreme example to make a point. The advertising dollars are already sold, okay? So here's the thing. The TV contracts are based on anticipated or forecasted ratings. Yes, of course the networks would love to see Alabama and Clemson or Alabama and Ohio State. Yes, they would love that. That's their perfect world. And we're gonna build our forecasting and our contracts based on that. But they pay these contracts, and you know this with Notre Dame. They pay these TV contracts. If that was the case, If the TV contracts, the TV revenue to the schools and so forth and the networks and so forth was the case, you'd never see a Notre Dame game on television this year. But the thing is, those contracts were already given. Those advertising dollars were already sold based on the anticipation that Notre Dame would have a regular season like Notre Dame did. The point being is these especially these big games like national championship games, the revenue has already been made. That's my point. I get they want the ratings. That makes sense. But they're not getting paid off of that rating, off of that particular game. So let the game be the game. Whoever wins, whoever earns the spot, they're justifiably. Let's have six teams. Let's have eight teams. Whoever wins their spot wins it, and whoever wins the championship, they are the national championship. Let's not build the other three teams around one team like clearly the committee has done against Alabama.
Yeah, well, it's also Nick Saban, just, yeah, oh, definitely. But, you know, Alabama's putting themselves in that spot every year, too. So it's not just the committee putting them there, even though I'm with you. I think that they, once Alabama is there, they you know, the committee uses Alabama as their driving force, maybe, to see who's going to stack up against them, give them the best rating, the best money generator, the best matchup, I guess. But, you know, Bama's there,
yeah.
And the committee uses that resource.
I am totally understanding that Alabama's earned the right to be there. Great. They're just another team inside the playoffs. So let the other three teams decide. My point being is Penn State should have been there.
I agree.
That's just that's where it all starts and settles. Settles and starts, if you will.
Hey, that was a long way to get from Penn State 10 minutes ago to right here. We took a journey, didn't we?
get me on my rants. Get back. So let's talk about the high end. Let's talk about the Heisman Trophy. You know, and we'll make our official Heisman Trophy pick in a moment here. But, you know, we've got Lamar Jackson. We've got Baker Mayfield. We've got Deshaun Watson. We've got Deed Westbrook. Is it Deed Westbrook? Is that how you say it? Deed or Deed?
It's Deedy Westbrook.
D.D.
Yep,
well, I'm not
going to
make fun of his name. I promise you that. I'm not going to stand up in front of his face and make fun of his name. Is your name D.D.? Or is it Dude? Man, Dude. All you got to do is replace the E with the D with a U, and then you got yourself Dude. But Jabril Peppers. Yeah, those are your finalists for this year's choice. And, you know, let's go through these. I mean, record-setting season for Louisville's Lamar Jackson. Passed for 3,390 yards and 30 touchdowns with 9 interceptions. And he's only a sophomore. Was valuable in running the ball to accumulating 1,538 yards, 21 touchdowns on the ground. And Jackson was the third player in FBS history to record a 30-pass touchdown and rush for more than 20 in one season. The other two players were Cam Newton and Tim Tebow, who won the Heisman. So, Lamar Jackson of Louisville, what say you?
Well, here's what I would say about Lamar Jackson. He's been the clear-cut favorite all season long. And like a 30-1 odds, which is crazy because you remember the great undefeated UConn's women's teams win all those national titles. Those were like 8-1 odds, those teams. So that tells you how much of a favorite Lamar Jackson has been to win this Heisman. Here's what happened this week. Lamar Jackson won the Maxwell Award. Now, if you know anything about college football awards, usually the Maxwell Award goes to the Heisman runner-up. That's how that works. And he won the Maxwell this week. So are we going to see a Heisman and Maxwell Award winner? I don't know because I can't remember the last time that happened because I always picked their Heisman. Whoever wins the Maxwell, it's runner-up for the Heisman. So who we have left, I think the only other contender that is up there on Lamar Jackson's level is Jabril Peppers from Michigan. He plays 29 positions on the field. He never leaves the field except for like two plays a game to take a water break. But they're both the most electrifying men in sports entertainment, you know, if I can quote The Rock. They're both the two best college football players. It's going to come down to those two tonight. But like I said, I mean, we could see Lamar Jackson win it. I still think he's the favorite. But he just won the Maxwell Award this week, which goes to the runner-up. I mean, that's how it works.
Well, it's not we know what you're saying. You know what you're saying, and certainly that's just been the way that it's happened. But let's make it very clear, just for those that may not understand, that's not necessarily the rules. We're not saying that's how it works. That's the rules.
No, that's not the rules. But that's how it's gone in just recent memory. I mean, that's not really a guideline or a rule by any means whatsoever, but just go back and look at your Heisman and Maxwell Award winners, and you'll see a Heisman winner and then a runner-up always won the Maxwell. So
that's all I'm totally off of. I understand. I'm with you, brother. Hey, did you know that this is the sixth time a running back will not finish in the top five of Heisman voting, but the third time in the past 5 years? There you go. And did you know that the person that wins the Maxwell Award is actually usually the runner-up of the Heisman Trophy?
I had no idea. And you know what? Difference between the two is? The Maxwell goes to college football's best college football player, and the Heisman goes to the most outstanding. So there you go.
And one of them is sponsored by coffee.
Right.
You know, let's talk about some of these other players. We certainly want to make sure that because I want to give our official pick, and I do have my official pick ready to go. And I had it ready to go before we had our conversation. So just as an FYI, Oklahoma's Baker Mayfield, he passed for 3,669 yards, 38 touchdowns with 8 interceptions. He rushed for 6 touchdowns. After last week's games, he is the FBS leader in total QBR, 91.6, completion percentage, 71.2%, and yards per attempt, 11.1. The last player to finish a season with the top three in the FBS in each of these categories was Wisconsin's Russell Wilson in 2011. Mayfield finished fourth in the Heisman voting last season. This season, he has a better completion percentage, more touchdowns and passes, and a higher total QBR than he did last year. So, Baker Mayfield, what say you, sir?
I think he's well-deserving to make a return trip to New York for the Heisman ceremony. But what he had this year is D.D. Westbrook. So, all these gaudy numbers, you know, that he's put up this year, a lot of that is because of D.D. Westbrook at the same time, who I think actually probably finished third in the race tonight, D.D. Westbrook.
So can Watson improve on last season's showing? Clemson's Deshaun Watson passed for 3,914 yards and 37 touchdowns, both tops in the ACC this season with 15 interceptions. He rushed for 529 yards and 6 touchdowns. On Thursday, Watson won the Davey O'Brien Award for the second time. He's the fourth two-time winner of the award, and each of the other three also won Heisman Trophy in one season, and he won the O'Brien. Last season, Watson finished third in Heisman voting.
the best finish by a Clemson player this year, looks to top that with the school's first Heisman Trophy. Thoughts?
Well, the thing with Deshaun Watson, also very deserving to be at the Heisman ceremony. He won the O'Brien Award as the best quarterback. So, but there were some games this year where Clemson was very sluggish on offense, and he did not have a great game. And they lost to Pitt. If Clemson would have stayed undefeated, and with his with the eyeballs that Deshaun Watson has on him, you get to see Clemson play on TV a lot more because of him. I mean, their success is on his shoulders, and that's why he deserves to be at the ceremony tonight. But we got to see him like not at his best this year. I thought last season he looked a lot better last year than what Clemson looked this year, and that had to do with weapons they had last year that he didn't have this year. But I just think some of these games he had this year, that's what's going to take him out of actually winning. So, but that's the only thing with Deshaun Watson. I mean, he's a hell of a quarterback.
Well, right. As you mentioned, the ceremonies tonight, we've got a big day of sports. We've got the Army-Navy game. We've got some college basketball going on, which we really haven't had a chance to get into yet. We've got the Heisman Trophy Award winner. We don't have Notre Dame football today, but jab, poke the bear. All right. So let's go with our official picks. Go ahead. Who is your official pick? I'm writing it down now, sir. And we will have bragging rights on social media tonight. What say you?
Well, I'm picking Lamar Jackson. But like I said, he did win the Maxwell this week, so do not be shocked. It will be shocking if he doesn't win it. I mean, I'll tell you that. But don't be surprised if you hear Jabril Peppers' name mentioned instead of Lamar Jackson. I think it's going to come down to both of them. And I think it's going to be Lamar Jackson, but Jabril Peppers is a very, very close second at this point. Cause he's done enough towards the end of the year to catapult his name up there. Like I said, he never leaves the field. He plays offense, defense, special teams. I think he might be the best athletic player in college football, but Lamar Jackson plays the position that matters, and that's quarterback. So I think it's going to be Lamar Jackson, but do not be surprised if it's Jabril Peppers.
So your official pick is Lamar Jackson, the guy who won the Maxwell
Award. Yes, sir.
All right.
Yes, sir.
Because it never happens that way. It never happens that way. You said it yourself 5 minutes ago, but your official pick is Lamar Jackson.
It never happens that way. It's why it's like he won the Maxwell and usually has to runner up. But we'll see. It's a crazy year anyway in college football, so I don't know. We'll see how it plays out tonight. Looking forward to it.
A crazy, wacky world of sports we have.
Hey, also, good TV after the Heisman is a 30 for 30. Catholics versus Convicts is on tonight right after the
You're
Heisman.
Right. You're right. I totally forgot the 30 versus 30 Catholic versus Convicts. So that's a very good point. I totally forgot about that. I've actually got that set to watch. I don't know that I'm going to be able to stay up and watch.
And in February, they're 30 for 30 is doing the XFL, and I can't wait for that one either. That's going to be good.
Yeah, and in March, they're doing 30 for 30 for the balance. Tom Marquis helped.
Off of the balance, yeah. What if I told you?
What if I told you that there's a guy in Indianapolis, Indiana? That'd be classic. You know, let me get into my picks here. Here's the thing. Let's get one thing out of the way first. Deshaun Watson's statistics pale in comparison to Louisville quarterback Lamar Jackson, who edged the Clemson signal caller out for both the Atlantic Conference and Offensive Player of the Year and top quarterback honors. But there's one thing that Watson has over Jackson as the two go head-to-head for the Heisman Trophy. The Clemson quarterback won head-to-head matchups when their team squared off early in October. Watson threw for 306 yards, 20 for 31 passing, with 5 touchdowns and 3 interceptions, 42 in a 42-36 shellacking. Yeah, maybe we won't call it a shellacking. Jackson isn't too shabby either, as he had 295 yards, 27 for 44 passing, with one touchdown and one interception through the air, 162 yards, and two scores on the ground. But, couple of his statistics with the fact that Clemson won the ACC championship, earned a berth in the college football playoff for the second straight year, and is why Watson is the reason why Watson is in New York tonight. Sorry for the Heisman ceremony for the second straight year as well. My official pick, ladies and gentlemen, for bragging rights on the Balance social media is Deshaun Watson of Clemson gets the Heisman Trophy, sir.
That would be a huge surprise. He jumps Lamar Jackson and Jabril Peppers. That would be huge. Yeah, it's going to be down to them too. But that'd be cool.
So
Deshaun Watson, definitely could.
So follow at American Airman Podcast. Is that your Twitter handle there, sir?
At Radio Airman is the Twitter handle for that, and then
Radio
at Reagan. At Radio Airman and at Reagan underscore Rick.
And follow at T Balance and at Breaking Rick. Follow all of those Twitter handles. And then tonight, immediately after the announcement of said Heisman Trophy winner, Rick Reagan will come on humbly and say, I was wrong. I know nothing. I am not worthy. And vice versa. If Peppers wins, you don't get to come on there and say, I told you I thought Peppers could win. That was my secondary pick.
I didn't say he would. All I said was just don't be surprised if he did, because I think he's going to be the runner-up. I think we're going to see a Maxwell and Heisman Award winner this year, even though it's not typically that's how he did it, but it could happen.
Well, we need to wrap it up, put a bow on it for today's
yes,
show.
Sir.
We're going to have an abbreviated show. I know you have to get out of here early, and I've got just a million things going on today. So we're going to have to wrap up the show, but it's been a pleasure as always. And what is the American – and I appreciate you, by the way. I just wanted to throw this out there. I noticed in your feed that you put your appearance on the Balance from time to time on your feed. So thanks for the motions.
Oh, definitely.
So what are you guys working
also
on this
put
week?
The, also put your show on my site. You know, when I'm a guest on it, I put the whole link and everything on my site. And I guess it takes my feed, puts it on iTunes, Stitcher, you know, so –
That's why we got those all time ratings. I can
that's right.
It back to those times of what are you guys working on this week for the American Airman Podcast?
Well, first of all, just thank you, veterans. I mean, without you guys, you'll be in the Army Navy game, because that's who's playing the Army Navy game. So, but
boy, that was a stretch. What thanks, Siri.
Yeah, but. Yeah, you can follow at Radio Airman on Twitter, at Reagan underscore Rick. You can download the show, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Podcast Addict, Facebook.com/Radio Airman. But, yeah, we talk sports. It's randomness. You know, I want to get veterans on to hang out, talk whatever they want. You know, we'll talk The Walking Dead, we'll talk wrestling, the rumored season 9 of Dexter, any pop culture, Star Wars, hey, Rogue One in 6 days. I cannot wait for that. We'll talk Rogue One this week. You're on the show Wednesday night. So sports and randomness, beer, and veterans, please come on and talk about service. I love that. You know, passionate for sports and military. So that's what we work on. That's what we do every Wednesday.
Sounds good. Well, Rick, you have yourself a fantastic week, and we'll make sure that we follow you. And remember, everybody, right after the Heisman Trophy Award winning, whoever is the loser has to come on and say they are not worthy
right.
of talking sports with the other one. You accept that challenge, sir? Do you accept
the
challenge?
Yeah, I accept it, because I remember you dressed like Jim Harbaugh last year, so you're probably going to do something similar.
I remember that, too. I did, too. And I did a pretty good job of it. I had the khakis and everything.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
It was pretty good. So we'll that was classic. I'd forgotten about that. I need to look that picture up. So all right, Rick, have yourself a good week, and we'll catch up with you next week, sir.
Yes, sir, Tom. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you, buddy. Rick Riggin of the American Airman Podcast joins us. Man, we always have a lot of fun on this show. If nothing else, that's for sure. Well, I tell you what, we're going to have to call it a wrap, call it quits, and so forth. But we'll be back next week right here on the Balance Radio Network. I promise next week we'll be back on our full schedule. We've kind of had, because of holiday schedule, Big Ten Championship, a lot of stuff going on, we've kind of had an abbreviated show. But we'll be back on our full two-hour schedule next week right here on the Balance Radio Network. Remember to follow us at GBalance, at ProIndy, at Breaking Rake, at Too Hot Corner, as well as at IndyInMay.com. And we'll hear every Saturday morning right here on the Balance Radio Network. I'm out of here. Don't drink and drive. It is cool. I'll see you. Deuce.
Join us next week for The Balance. In the meantime, check us out on Twitter, T-Balance, or Facebook, The Balance, or online at www.thebalanceonline.com.